Naomi's going to come and read to us from Ruth chapter 3.
One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley in the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garden over me, since you are the guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that the woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed a bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her, and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today."
Thank you. We have a phrase in our English language, it's probably not meant in a very nice way. When a young woman is trying to win the affections of a young man, people might say, "She's throwing herself at his feet." She's throwing herself at his feet. She's making a play for him. She's making it perfectly obvious what her intentions are towards him. Well, in Ruth chapter 3, we see the source of this phrase. As Ruth comes to the feet of Boaz, who she hopes will become her husband. In our harvest love story in the book of Ruth, we've reached a rather critical point, haven't we? In the previous weeks, we've seen the story unfolding. In chapter 1, we saw the difficult circumstances that were faced by Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had left her homeland in a time of famine with her husband, Elimelech. They went to Moab. They had 2 sons who married Moabite women. But of course, as we know, as time went on, both her husband and her 2 sons died, leaving Naomi with these 2 Moabite daughters-in-law. Naomi decides to return to Israel. One of the girls, Orpah, stays in Moab, but the other, Ruth, determines to go with Naomi and to put her trust in Naomi's God, the God of Israel. On arriving in Bethlehem, Ruth finds herself gleaning in Boaz's field, who in the providence of God turns out to be a near relative of their family. Boaz takes Ruth under his care, and chapter 2 concludes with Naomi starting to emerge from that sense of despondency as she realises that God has not forsaken them, as perhaps she thought he had. God was turning her mourning around. Boaz is a God-fearing man, Ruth now a God-dependent woman, and Naomi now a God-exalting woman. And so as we come to chapter 3, we find Ruth and Boaz at the crossroads of their relationship. The harvest can't go on forever. The winnowing is taking place. Naomi and Ruth had enjoyed the benefits of Ruth's industry in the fields during the harvest. No doubt Ruth had gathered a good supply of grain, and so through diligent gathering and Boaz's generosity. But this, I don't think, will be enough to sustain them until next year's harvest. I believe a great fondness has developed, an attachment between Boaz and Ruth. But Boaz has not taken things further. He has not made steps to put this relationship on a more permanent footing. What's wrong with Boaz? Has he got cold feet? Well, not yet. That comes a bit later. Was this relationship going to fizzle out with the harvest? You know, most relationships are a bit like that, aren't they? They either kind of progress or they fizzle out. Relationships don't tend to stay at one level. It either develops into something greater or it dies. Pick up on Boaz again a bit later, but let me just focus on Naomi for a moment. Discerning, worldly wise Naomi, I think senses the delicate point that Ruth and Boaz's relationship has reached. The just good friends label is not going to wear anymore, and Naomi's great desire is to see that relationship put on a more permanent, more concrete footing. Naomi's desperate to see her daughter-in-law, whom she now considers as good as a daughter. She wants to see her set up in life with a home, with a husband, with a family of her own. Ruth is still, it would seem, a relatively young woman. And whilst Naomi is grateful for her faithfulness to her, she probably considers the two of them going on as widows together, trying to scrape a living, as being no kind of life for this young woman. In the society in which they lived, Ruth's only hope, really, for prosperity was to remarry. The key roles belonged to the men in that society. And so, scheming Naomi takes the initiative, doesn't she? She thinks up a plan to try and discover what Boaz's true intentions really are. But her plan, you know, I believe is based on her knowledge of God's word. Because there is provision back in the earlier parts of the Old Testament for this kind of situation. She says to Ruth in verse 2, she says, "Now Boaz with these women you have, now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. And that's significant. It's good to know God's word and then to apply it to different situations. So what did she know? Well, in Leviticus 25, we read this. If one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. If, however, there is no one to redeem it for them, but later on they prosper and acquire sufficient means to redeem it themselves, they are to determine the value for the years since they sold it and refund the balance to the one to whom they sold it. They can then go back to their own property. But if they do not acquire the means to repay, what was sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and then they can go back to their property. So there was a sense in which somebody needed to redeem the situation for Elimelech and his sons and their kind of inheritance rights within Israel. Okay, so there's something within that. And then Deuteronomy 25, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town in the gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up my brother's family line. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. So do you see there's a responsibility within the wider family to look after Ruth and Naomi's line. And I think Naomi's well aware of this. Maintaining the family line, maintaining the family honour was very important in Israel. And as things stood, Naomi's husband Elimelech and the two sons had no surviving descendants to carry on that family tree. If there were no brothers, then the obligation of care for them fell on the next male relative, okay? The nearest male relative was responsible for their situation. The Hebrew word we have for kinsman there, the word in the Hebrew is goel. And the goel was the kind of next of kin, the person with the responsibility. Every male relative of the man who had died was considered a goelim, a kinsman. But the nearest relative was the goel, okay? Now, Naomi, I believe, realized that Boaz was one of the goelim, okay? He was one of the near relatives who would have this lawful obligation towards her and Ruth. And so by sending Ruth to Boaz, she was in effect putting out the appeal to Boaz to honour the Israelite law, to honour the memory of Elimelech. And so to Ruth's actions. Perhaps we can imagine Ruth and Naomi sitting down together having a good chat over a cup of tea. What are we going to do? Well, perhaps another tea. I don't know. How are we going to sort this, Ruth? I've no idea. Perhaps we can imagine Naomi going on to explain to this foreign woman the duties of the Goel towards her in Israel. Ruth clearly trusts her mother-in-law, and together they make this plot, don't they, to try and make Boaz her husband. All the details are discussed, and Ruth awaits the opportunity. Ruth makes her appeal to Boaz by means of a well-recognized ritual for such claims, history teaches us. She comes and she lies at his feet. Now, in our Western culture, perhaps for a young woman to go at night where a man was sleeping at laying his feet in such a way would probably be considered pretty indecent or unacceptable. Maybe not in the wider culture, but in a church culture, wouldn't be quite the thing to do, would it? And certainly there was a need to hide this from people that Boaz expressed afterwards. But I want you to be clear, there was nothing sexual or immodest about her action. Yes, she dresses up, she washes, she prepares herself as young women and men tend to do when they're prone to going on a date. She wants to look her best, perhaps. She might put on her best clothes. She might have come out of her mourning clothes that she'd worn for her dead husband to perhaps signify that she was ready to meet someone else. We don't know. She hides herself away, doesn't she, until the winnowing of the barley and the eating and the drinking has ended and Boaz has lain down to sleep. What's Boaz doing sleeping on the threshing floor? We don't know for certain, but perhaps he was there to guard the crop in case somebody came in and ran off with it. She goes in and she uncovers his feet and she lies down. She uncovers his feet. Now we read in verse 8 that something startled Boaz in the middle of the night. I wonder if he woke up shivering. Because I think you would, wouldn't you? As many of you know, if your feet are cold, then the whole of you tends to feel cold, don't you? That's my experience. Yeah. You soon wake up if your feet are cold. So he's awake now and he senses someone at his feet. Who are you? He says. Just unable to see who it is in the darkness. I'm your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me. Since you are a kinsman redeemer, you're a Goelim. Will you spread your garment over me? You folk who are married, have you in fact woken up in the night to find your husband or wife has pinched the entire duvet? a few smiley faces going on here. It's cold, isn't it? Give me it back! Put that over me. Well, it meant a bit more than just getting warm, okay? There's much more to Ruth's request here than just to be covered up from the cold. In those few words, which may seem nothing to us, Ruth is actually proposing marriage to Boaz. She's actually saying, will you cover me? By spreading his garment over her, Boaz was symbolically showing his willingness to take Ruth under his wing, as it were. The word for the corner of the garment and the word for wing in Hebrew are the same word. Spread your wing over me. Spread your garment over me. And if he does, he is in effect saying he is willing to act as her Goelim, to act as her redeemer, to fulfill all the obligations that are involved. Now, Boaz, for his part, I don't think he can believe his luck. The attentions of this young woman. I think he's significantly older than her. But he understands her proposal. He wants to assure her by what he says that he holds her in very high esteem, that she has a tremendous reputation. He loves Ruth very much. He has recognized something about her since that very first day he clapped eyes on her in his field. But up to this point, he hasn't proposed marriage. Why? She uncovers what's the problems? What's the problems for Boaz? What's the problems? I think there are three possible barriers here. Barrier number one, he thinks he's too old for her. He thinks he's too old for her. He says in verse 10, "You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." That would imply, wouldn't it, that he's significantly older than her. Perhaps he found it hard to conceive that this younger woman would be attracted to him. Was he deceiving himself to think she might feel the same way as he did about her? Well, any doubts on that score were surely done away with now, with this proposal from her. Am I too old for her? Secondly, who's Naomi's redeemer? Who's Naomi's redeemer? Perhaps Boaz was nearer to Naomi in age. What about the responsibilities towards her? Well, it seems clear that Naomi has waived any claim of her own to a kinsman redeemer at this point in favour of Ruth. Perhaps as a woman with grown-up sons, she may have been beyond childbearing age anyway. And right back in chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13, she says, "Return home, my daughters, I am too old to have another husband." So she'd already kind of given up that claim. But there was a third reason why he hadn't pressed things so far. I'm not the next of kin. I'm not the Goel. I'm one of the Goelim. I'm one of the family who could redeem her, but there is someone closer. There is a nearer relative. He was not the Goel. He was not the next of kin. There was a relative who had precedence in fulfilling the duty towards widows. And that, to me, is the most obvious reason why Boaz has not proposed marriage up to this point. He tells Ruth to stay the night at his feet, and that in the morning he will seek a resolution of the problem in one way or another. There's no hint of a sexual indiscretion here. In the morning, Boaz gave Ruth 6 measures of barley for her to take back to Naomi. As well as that being essential supplies, I think it was symbolic to Naomi of his willingness, of his serious intent towards Ruth, that he would waste no time in trying to make Ruth his wife. And Naomi could see that the plan had worked well, that they very soon would have their answer. Was Naomi ignorant of the fact that there was a nearer kinsman than Boaz? I think that's unlikely. Surely she would have known the branches of her own family. But she has this preference, doesn't she, for Boaz? Was it not the providence of God that when they gleaned in the field, it happened to be Boaz's field, and he just so happened to be around to meet them there? I think she saw that Boaz was a good man, a God-honoring man. Even if he was a little older, she thought him a good match for Ruth. For me, all the characters in the story emerge with credit. Naomi knew her scriptures, didn't she, about the kinsman, and sought to apply the scriptures. How we need to know our scriptures and apply those scriptures to the situation that we find ourselves in. She was selfless in the help for her daughter-in-law. I wonder, are we so selfless? Boaz, for his part, doesn't let his heart rule his head and acts with discretion, with wisdom, not making false promises, not taking advantage of Ruth. And Ruth, for her part, trusts herself, doesn't she, to her mother-in-law and ultimately to the will of God. Ruth knew that her future hope lay in following the Lord's will for her life. Ruth throws herself at the feet of the kinsman redeemer. Do you know, and here's the spiritual application of this. We need to throw ourselves at the feet of the kinsman redeemer. And our kinsman redeemer is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he longs to spread his garment over us, to welcome us as his bride. Ruth washed herself before going to Boaz, and we need to be washed of our sin. Ruth put on perfume oil, and we need the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Ruth put on clean clothes, and we need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We need to come to the feet of Jesus. We need to ask him to spread his garment of salvation over us, to spread his wing over us to deal with our sin and shame. Isaiah promised long before Jesus came, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those who repent of their sin. And Ruth's hopeless future without a kinsman redeemer surely mirrors our hopeless future without the intervention of the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Someone willing to pay the price, someone willing to cover us, someone willing to save us. So this story of Ruth, yes, it's a beautiful love story, but it foreshadows the love of Christ for his bridegroom, the church. His love of every one of us who will come to him. We'll see next time, as the story concludes, that Ruth finds her kinsman redeemer. But my question to you is, have you found your kinsman redeemer? Have you thrown yourself at the feet of the Lord? Have you asked for his mercy? Is there a spiritual harvest taking place? And has he spread his garment of salvation over you? Amen.